Assalamu alaikum. Hello kids, how are you today? Are you ready for the next story? Insha'Allah, the story I'm going to tell you is about the most important prophet in Islam. It's the story of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are you ready, children? Now listen carefully. Bismillah. The birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once upon a time, many years ago, far away in the land of Arabia, there lived a man named Abdullah, son of Abdul Muttalib. He was one of the foremost leaders in the city of Mecca. He was married to Amina, the daughter of Wahb ibn Abd Manaf. But after marriage, Abdullah could not stay with Amina for long, as he had to go on a long journey with the merchants traveling to Gaza. Unfortunately, Abdullah had died a month after the caravan left. Amina was pregnant at the time. One night, a voice said to her in the dream, "The child you bear will lead his people. Give him the name Muhammad." After this incident, many miracles took place in Amina's life. Months later, she gave birth to a child. At the time of the child's birth, a beam of light came from heaven and surrounded the atmosphere. There were several miracles that took place during the time of his birth. At the time of birth of the Holy Prophet, the stone idols the people worshipped in the town fell down and broke into pieces. When the people saw this, they picked up the fallen idols and erected them back in their places. But the idols fell down again, this time on their faces. And in the nearby Zoroastrian temple, the fire, which had been kept alight for thousands of years, quenched for the first time in history. In the Nowshirwan's royal palace nearby, 14 towers fell to the ground, breaking into pieces. Sawa River nearby dried up instantly, and River Samawa, which had been dried for the past 1,000 years, was filled with water. The Prophet lived with his mother for a few years. It was tradition in those days to send young boys to live in the desert for a few years. It was believed that the desert climate was good for them, and it would make them healthy. These children were taken to the desert by women who lived there. At first, no one was willing to take the young prophet with them. Then finally, a good woman named Halima agreed to take him to their home. Halima and her husband Harith lived in the desert, far away from Mecca. They lived in poverty, struggling to make their ends meet. They had another child who was of the same age as the young prophet. Their camel hardly gave any milk, and their sheep were very thin. They were struggling to take care of the animals and their child together. But after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into their life, they witnessed great abundance and blessings. The old camel started giving a lot more milk after the arrival of the Prophet. The sheep got fat, and the palm trees in their field flourished with lots of dates. One day, Halima and Harith were looking after their sheep in the backyard of their house. The young prophet and his foster brother were playing with other children at the time. It was then that a man walked towards the kids where they were playing. He then went to the young prophet. The children noticed something unusual in the stranger's behavior, so they stopped playing and watched him. The stranger then waved his hands, and the young prophet suddenly fell unconscious. The children got frightened by now. Some of them ran away, but others stayed there to see what was going to happen. The stranger then opened the little boy's chest, using some strange magic. The boy was unconscious and didn't feel any pain. The children who saw this were terrified. All of them ran to their homes, yelling, "Someone is killing Muhammad!" The stranger then took out the Prophet's heart out. He then removed the black portion attached to the heart and threw it away. The black part was the part which filled people with evil. The man then washed the heart with Zamzam water, which he carried in a golden bowl. After this, he put the boy's heart back in his chest, and then using the strange magic again, he closed his chest back to normal. As soon as the Prophet regained consciousness, the angel disappeared. After this incident, Halima decided to send the Prophet back to his house. Abdul Muttalib, the Prophet's grandfather, was very happy to welcome the young Prophet back. Abdul Muttalib had a seat near the Kaaba, where he allowed no one else to sit. The seat belonged to him alone, but Abdul Muttalib loved the little boy so much that he allowed the boy to sit in the seat. When the Prophet was 6 years old, his mother died. The young Prophet was then brought up by his grandfather. By the time the Prophet was 8 years old, Abdul Muttalib realized that he was going to die soon. He then asked his son, Abu Talib, to take care of the boy after his death. The Prophet's grandfather passed away too, and he was then taken care of by his uncle. Abu Talib was a poor man, but in spite of it, he took the boy home. He and his wife did their best to take care of the young Prophet. As the boy grew up, Abu Talib was surprised at the Prophet's good manners. The young Prophet soon gained a reputation for being caring, honest, and courteous. The people of Mecca respected him wherever he went. In time, people named him Al-Amin, which meant the trustworthy one. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was friendly towards all, but he especially loved the companionship of his uncle's children, Talib, Aqil, and Ja'far. The Prophet used to work as a shepherd before his uncle got him into trading. This humble occupation taught him the values of hard work and honesty. His sense of responsibility soon earned him a very good reputation in Mecca. During one of the Prophet's travels, he arrived in a town where a woman named Khadija, radiallahu anha, lived. She was a businesswoman, and she belonged to the Banu Asad clan. She had married twice before, but unfortunately, both her husbands died within a few days after the marriage. Khadija, radiallahu anha, was an ambitious woman. She worked hard, and she used to hire the caravan bosses and porters to work for her. One day, she announced that she was looking to hire a local man to lead a very important caravan going to Syria. She announced that the selected person would be given 2 young camels as compensation. The Prophet, who was now 25 years old and still living with his uncle, saw this as an excellent opportunity to earn and see the world. He paid a visit to the woman and accepted her offer. Khadija, radiallahu anha, decided to send one of her slaves secretly along to keep an eye on the young Prophet. He was also entrusted with the task of assisting him in managing the caravan workers and the animals as well. And that day, the Prophet set off for Syria. It was going to be a long and fruitful journey. Did you like the story, kids? If you liked the video, please click the like and subscribe buttons. And don't forget to click the notification icon to keep updated on all our videos. Inshallah, I will tell you the next part of the story of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tomorrow. That's all for today. Goodbye. Assalamu alaikum. Hello, kids. How are you today? Are you ready for the next story? In the last episode, you learned about the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Insha'Allah, today I am going to tell you the story of how the Prophet got married to Khadija radiallahu anha and many others. Are you ready, children? Now listen carefully. Bismillah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes a merchant. In the last episode, we learned how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam grew up and became a well-respected young man in Mecca. The Prophet took employment with Khadija radiallahu anha and traveled with her merchandise to Syria. Khadija radiallahu anha sent her most trusted servant along with the Prophet to keep an eye on him. The Prophet visited many new places and markets on his way to Syria. Finally, he reached Syria. The Prophet was amazed when he saw the market. It was much bigger than the one in Mecca, and it was so crowded with people. The Prophet and his assistants set up their merchandise for display, and it was soon crowded with people. People were really impressed with the Prophet's demeanor, and they loved doing business with him. They were able to sell all their goods on the very first day itself. The next day, when the Prophet roamed around the market, he was really impressed with the quality of products being sold. He had an idea and bought some goods which he thought would get good profits if he sold them in Mecca. When it was time for his return journey, the camels were loaded with the new merchandise, and they left Syria. When they arrived back in Mecca, the people were amazed by the merchandise he brought with him. The Prophet handed over the goods to Khadija radiallahu anha and gave her a full report of the journey. Once he left the house, she called her servant and asked about the Prophet's conduct.
"I have never seen such an honest man," replied the servant. "He treated me with respect, and he was very kind to everyone. He was well-liked by the traders in Syria, so he was able to sell all our goods easily. Then he bought other goods with the money earned and sold them again, thus doubling the profit."
Khadija was extremely pleased with the Prophet and his skills. She then paid the Prophet wisely and sent him back. Khadija fell deeply in love with the Prophet. Even though he was 15 years younger, she resolved to marry this man. The next day, she sent his sister to this young man.
"Why are you not married yet?" she asked him.
"For lack of means," he answered.
"What if I were to offer you a wife of nobility and beauty? Will you be interested?" she asked.
"Who is it?" he replied. When she mentioned her sister, the young man chuckled in amazement.
"How could I marry her? She has turned down the most noble men in the city. They were much wealthier and prominent than this poor shepherd."
But the sister replied, "Don't you worry, I will take care of it." Not long after, the Prophet married Khadija radiallahu anha. It was the beginning of one of the most loving, happiest, and sacred marriages in all human history. This marriage gave him the loving heart of a woman who consoled him and kept him alive, a flickering flame of hope when no man believed in him. The Prophet lived a wealthy life for many years after that. After they got married, they had 6 children together, 2 boys and 4 girls. But none of the male kids survived, as they both died in their infancy, and both of them were really sad at the loss of their sons. Their daughters, Zainab,
Ruqayya, Umm Kulthum, and littlest Fatima brought much joy and pleasure into their lives. Many years passed. Once, there was a huge flood in Mecca, which destroyed several buildings, including the Kaaba. Everyone was worried. They all wanted to get the repairs done to the Kaaba, but they were worried that some harm might befall on them if they tried to take down the walls. They waited many days, but no one came forward to take down the walls. One day, the leader of the clan, Al-Walid ibn Ali al-Mughira, walked in front of the crowd, took a pickaxe, and struck the corner of the Kaaba. When he struck, a section of one of the walls came crashing down. Everyone was surprised, and they looked at Al-Mughira if something happened to him. They waited for a while, but Al-Mughira remained unharmed. When the leaders saw this, they were reassured and decided to rebuild the Kaaba. They decided to put each major clan to work on a rotating schedule. Stone by stone, the entire Kaaba was carted away. When the workers reached ground level, they found the underlying foundation was made of a large green stone slab. Then they started rebuilding the Kaaba. One by one, they laid the stones. When construction was midway, it was time for them to place the famous black stone. Each clan's leader came forward with an argument that the right to place the fabled black stone belonged to them. The leaders of other tribes disputed their rights, and pretty soon it became a serious issue. No one was able to arrive at a decision. So it was decided that they consult Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to find a solution. The Prophet thought for a while. Then he asked that a large sheet be brought to him. When they got him the sheet, he spread it on the ground and placed the black stone in the middle. Then he said, "Let the leaders of each clan take hold of the edges of this sheet." One by one, the leaders came forward and lifted the sheet in unison. The Prophet led them to the Kaaba as they carried the black stone together. Then they all placed the black stone standing together. Nobody felt slighted, and every clan was participating. The elders too were happy, and they agreed that it was the wisest decision. The Prophet always helped the poor and needy as well. Abu Talib fell into bad times, and the Prophet cleared all his debts using his personal wealth. The Prophet also undertook the education of his uncle's son, Ali, and brought him up. A year later, he adopted Aqil, another of his uncle's sons. Years passed, and the Prophet is in his 30s now. It was a time when there was frequent wars between different regions in Arabia. There was a group of people who worshipped the sun, the moon, and the fire. Then, there was this other group who worshipped the idols. All of them fought with each other, claiming their religion to be better. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't join any rebellion against idolatry, even though he didn't participate in the veneration of the idols himself. As the Prophet entered his 30s, he was very confused. He wanted to know the reason why he was alive, and constantly wondered what the purpose of his life was. He yearned for this truth day and night. As he kept pondering over the dilemma, the Prophet slowly began to withdraw from his business and affairs of the city. Did you like the story, kids? If you liked the video, please click the like and subscribe buttons, and don't forget to click the notification icon to keep updated on all our videos. Inshallah, I will tell you the next part of the story of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam tomorrow. That's all for today. Goodbye!
Assalamu alaikum.
Hello, kids. How are you today? Are you ready for the next story?
Insha'Allah, today I am going to tell you the story of the enlightenment of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Are you ready, children? Now listen carefully.
Bismillah.
The enlightenment of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
For the last several weeks, the Prophet was having strange dreams, visions, and voices while he was asleep. He couldn't sleep well, and these incidents troubled his mind. When he told this to his wife, she reassured her husband by saying, "Those dreams would bring you no harm." One night, as usual, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was spending the night at Mount Hira, pondering over the purpose of his life. That night, while he was alone and praying, the Prophet suddenly saw a bright light in the form of a man. That angel slowly approached him and commanded, "Read." The Prophet was never schooled, so he did not know how to read. He replied honestly by saying, "I can't read." The angel spread his arms around the Prophet and held him tightly. He then commanded the Prophet to read. But how could the Prophet read when he was not taught the letters? So he gave the angel the same answer. The angel then squeezed the Prophet so tight he was unable to breathe. Then he commanded, "Read." The Prophet was in pain now, and he was suffering. He struggled and asked the being, "What should I read?" The angel then squeezed the Prophet so hard that he thought he would faint. And he said, "Read in the name of your Lord and Cherisher, who created man out of a clot of congealed blood. Read, and your Lord is the most generous, who has taught writing by the pen, taught man which he knew not." The Prophet then repeated the words with a trembling heart. Before leaving, the angel said, "I am the angel Gabriel, and you are Muhammad, the messenger of God." The Prophet was stunned by this experience and somehow managed to reach home. As soon as he entered his house, he said to his wife, "Wrap me up, wrap me up." He was trembling as he said this, and she wrapped him up in a towel until his fear was gone. He explained to his wife what had happened. When he finished, he asked her if she thought he had gone mad. "Allah forbid," she replied. "He will surely not let such a thing happen, for you speak the truth. You are faithful and trust. You assist your fellow men." Then she went to her cousin, Waraqa ibn Nawfal, who was old and blind, but he knew the scriptures quite well. He had translated them into Arabic. When she told him about what had happened to her husband, he cried out, "Holy, holy! This is the Holy Spirit that came to Moses. He will be the prophet for his people. Tell him and ask him to be brave at heart." The Prophet continued to receive revelations for the remainder of his life. It was memorized and written down by his companions on sheepskins. The Prophet knew that the people had to hear the message from God. So he started preaching to the people what God told him. For the first few years of his mission, the Prophet preached to his family and close friends. The first woman to convert was his wife Khadija radiallahu anha. The first child to convert was his first cousin Ali. And the first bondsman was his servant Zayd. His old friend Abu Bakr was the first adult free male to convert. Many years later, the Prophet said this about him, "I have never called anyone to Islam who was not at first hesitant, except Abu Bakr." Later,
the Prophet received the command to preach openly. Day after day, Prophet Muhammad worked hard in spreading the message of God to as many people as possible. The Prophet explained the foolishness behind idol worship and taught them the importance of the Holy Quran. There were different clans in Mecca at the time, and one of the strongest were the Quraishis. The people belonging to that clan never saw the Prophet as a serious threat. They ignored him, thinking he was just a single man. But as time passed by, they saw the Prophet was getting more and more followers, and they now thought of him as a serious threat. Prophet Muhammad continued preaching to his people day and night. He traveled to distant lands, far away villages, spreading the message of the Quran. As a result, many people got convinced and stopped worshipping the idols and converted to Islam. Prophet Muhammad was very kind towards everyone, especially the poor. He treated everyone, young and old, poor and rich, with kindness and respect. There lived an old woman in the city who was a disbeliever. The woman made a habit of throwing rubbish on Prophet Muhammad whenever he passed in front of her house. The Prophet had to pass that house daily, as it was on the way to the mosque. This happened every day, but every time she threw the garbage on him, the Prophet would continue walking silently. He neither showed any signs of anger, nor was he annoyed. This routine took place every day. One day, as usual, the Prophet was on his way to the mosque. He passed the house of the old woman, but then no one threw garbage at him. The Prophet then stopped and asked the neighbor where the old woman was. The neighbor was surprised when the Prophet asked why she wasn't at her door, as usual, throwing garbage at him. The neighbor informed the Prophet that the woman was sick and she was bedridden. The Prophet thought for a while and politely sought permission to visit the woman. The old woman gave permission to the Prophet to enter the house. She thought he was there to take revenge on her. The Prophet smiled at her and told her that he wasn't there for any revenge. He told her that he was there to look after her needs. He said that it was the command of Allah to take care of the needy and help them. The old woman was greatly moved by the kindness and love of the Prophet. She now understood the greatness of the Prophet, and that he was truly the Prophet of God. Realizing that Islam was the true religion, she accepted Islam at once. Alhamdulillah. The priests and the people of Quraysh then tried to tempt the Prophet into joining their religion. For this, they sent Utbah ibn Rabi'ah to meet the Prophet. He offered riches, honors, dignity, and a fortune larger than what any of them had. They even offered to make him the chief or even the king. The Prophet listened silently. Then he recited the first 13 verses of Surah Fussilat. He praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and explained about the glad tidings of paradise to anyone who believed in the one true God. The Prophet then reminded him about what had happened to the people of Ad and Thamud. When the Prophet finished his recitation, he said to Utbah, "This is my reply to your proposition. Now take what course you find best." Utbah realized the greatness of the Prophet, and never again did he try to convince him. Did you like the video, kids? If you liked it, please click the like and subscribe buttons, and don't forget to click that notification icon to keep updated on all our videos. That's all for today. I will come back with another story in the next episode. Goodbye! Assalamu alaikum.
Hello, kids. How are you today? Are you ready for the next story? Insha'Allah, today I am going to tell you the story of the first hijrah, as well as some others. Are you ready, children? Now listen carefully.
Bismillah.
The life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
One night, the Prophet decided to take a walk to the Kaaba. He loved to visit the Kaaba at night because he could pray and meditate free from being disturbed. He spent a few hours at the Kaaba. After some time, he felt sleepy and lay down at the nearby courtyard. It was then that the angel Jibril appeared before him. Jibril took the Prophet by his arm and led him to the gate of the Kaaba. There was a beautiful white animal standing at the gates. It was slightly larger than a donkey and smaller than a mule. It had beautiful wings on its sides too. This fantastic creature was called a buraq. When the Prophet mounted the buraq, it leaped into action. The buraq could travel as far as one eye could see in a single leap. This creature was traveling towards the direction of Jerusalem in the north. A short time later, they arrived in Jerusalem, and the Prophet saw the ruined remains of an ancient temple. The Prophet dismounted the buraq and walked towards the temple. It was then that he came face to face with all the previous prophets. He saw his forefather, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam, and all the others who were brought back to earth in spirit form. All the prophets greeted Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with respect and great pleasure. Then they all stood behind the Prophet and he led them in prayers. After the prayers, the angel instructed the Prophet to climb the buraq once again. The fantastic animal took a huge leap, and from the secret rock of the Temple Mount, they shot straight up into the sky. It was a fantastic journey that had only been undertaken by two mortals before. The Prophet realized that he was being transported into the heavens. The other world is commonly known as Akhirah, or the afterlife. The earthly forms slowly vanished away behind him. Angel Jibril flied like a bird, using his wings along with him. One by one, they traveled through each of the seven layers of paradise. The Prophet saw his forefathers and other prophets once again in those heavens. Each of them greeted him when they saw him. The Prophet went past the gates of each heaven at different levels. When he reached the pinnacle, he saw a blend of rainbow colors in the shape of a tree. This is known as Sidratul Muntaha. No one knew the secrets that lay beyond that tree except Allah. The Prophet sat on his mount and slowly felt the power and presence of Allah descending upon Sidratul Muntaha. He suddenly felt a burst of light. The Prophet was spellbound and then heard a command. The voice commanded that he and his followers must observe ritual prayers 50 times a day. The Prophet agreed and then returned along with the angel. One by one, he came down through different layers. As he passed by the level where Prophet Musa alayhi salam resided, the old Prophet stopped him. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him about God's command. Prophet Musa alayhi salam convinced him to go back and request for a reduction in the number of daily prayers. The Prophet agreed and returned to Sidrat al-Muntaha. He requested to reduce the number of prayers. Allah agreed, and the number of daily prayers was reduced by half. The Prophet was happy and started his descent. He met Musa alayhi salam and told him about the reduction in prayers. The old prophet counseled him to ask God for further reductions. The prophet agreed and went back to Sidratul Muntaha. This happened a number of times, and God finally brought down the number of daily prayers to 5. God announced that 5 daily prayers would be counted as 50 in his sight. The Buraq then brought the prophet safely back to the Kaaba. This was the journey of Isra and Mi'raj. The clan leaders of Mecca sought many ways to stop the prophet from preaching. They persecuted the Muslims who joined the prophet and now threatened to start a war as well. The situation became worse. The prophet's heart grieved when he saw his people suffering. When things got even worse, the prophet decided to ask his followers to migrate to some country where they would not have to face such hardships. It was a time when their neighboring country, Al-Bisiniya, was ruled by a king named Negus. King Negus was a wise and just ruler who was loved by his people. The prophet knew that his people would be safe under their rule. The prophet sent a message to the king and sought support for his people. He then asked a few families to migrate to Abyssinia. The people agreed. They left their homes at night and traveled there. The refugees went to the king's palace, seeking permission to settle down in his lands. When the king met them, he welcomed them and assured their protection. They were soon followed by many others, and pretty soon they were soon followed by many others, and pretty soon about 100 families had emigrated. In the meantime, the prophet had gained support of many followers. The most notable among them was Umar bin al-Khattab. He was one of the most hated enemies of Islam at first. But as he learned more about Islam, he decided to embrace religion. The Quraysh leaders were now really angry and decided to kill the prophet. One night, they dispatched men to the prophet's house to kill him. When the prophet came to know of their plans, he decided that it was time for him to leave Mecca. The attackers gathered outside the wall, waiting for the prophet to come out. It was the night of Hijrah. The prophet informed about his migration to Ali radiallahu anhu, and he told him about the attackers waiting outside. He asked Ali if he would sleep in his bed in place of him, to confuse the attackers. To this, Ali replied with another question. If I sleep in your place, in your bed, will your life be saved? The Prophet replied, yes. Ali then thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and slept in the bed of the Holy Prophet, covering himself with the Prophet's blanket without any hesitation. It was because of Ali that the Prophet was able to leave the house unnoticed. By the time the attackers realized this, the Prophet was far away from Mecca. The Prophet reached Medina and lived there along with his people. There was a ban on Muslims and the family of the Prophet for 3 years. During this period, the Prophet and his disciples mostly stayed indoors, and Islam made no progress outside. The ban on the Prophet's family was lifted 3 years later, and he then returned to Mecca. In the following year, his uncle Abu Talib and his wife Khadija died. The Prophet had lost his guardian who protected him from enemies, and Khadija was his most encouraging companion. He grieved their deaths for many months. The Prophet continued preaching about Islam in distant lands. Sometimes he sent his disciples to preach too. Did you like the video, kids? If you liked it, please click the like and subscribe buttons, and don't forget to click the notification icon to keep updated on all our videos. That's all for today. I will come back with another story in the next episode. Goodbye!